Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think, you know, you're probably going to put more guys in that category that you're talking about than can make the team, though, you know. And I think he's definitely in that category, and that'll be one of those decisions that we'll have to make. But he did it again today. Yeah, I mean, he played well. You know, he keeps making big plays, you know, and that's something that is accounted for sure. And I think he played sound as well, did things the right way. So he's played just like that the whole camp. I think Trent has really made a big step this year. I just feel like the way he's processing the game, you know, has been a big step. Here's a guy who was an All-American running back, went to Clemson and, you know, was learning to play defense all along and came here. And I think, you know, you could see that the talent was evident. But this year he's really taken a big step in terms of just, you know, keeping it simple. No, I'd say we have a sense of his range, but confidence thing, just to get out there in a game and, you know, be in that circumstance and having done it one time like that more than maybe it would have is valuable.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, talking about Tyler Loop, 3-for-3 on Saturday against the Commanders down in Landover, Maryland, kicked a 61-yarder. And as John Harbaugh also said, Randy Brown went to Loop, said, "Hey, want to go from distance?" He said, "Yeah, what the hell?" And they were looking for the best opportunity. I mean, not going to try to kick one from your own 40 just to prove a point, but game situation dictated it. 61-yarder, he drilled it, hit a 52-yarder, went right inside the left upright there, and it was cool with the extra points and everything else. So Tyler Loop, who was named last week as unquestioned starting kicker for the Baltimore Ravens here in 2025, had a pretty strong, thank you very much, nothing to see here, please disperse, at least for the preseason.
Yep.
Now you got practice, which resumes today. And then next week you start to ramp up for the Buffalo Bills in a very important game. Start of the season, national TV rematch of last year's divisional round. But early inconsistencies for Loop, I guess, have now made way for a guy that seems to be comfortable in his role. And maybe we'll get to see him show off that big leg a little bit more than they were letting you see at training camp.
Well, I think it gives Harb some confidence if in the Buffalo game, Bob, right before the half, you know, do we go for it or do we try the long field goal? And I think probably feel comfortable that we can give it a shot. And even maybe at the end of a game, a long, you know, are we better off taking a 63-yard field goal, or are we better off, you know, throwing a Hail Mary? So I think that would probably give him some confidence in a game-type situation. But Loop, overall, I think kicking field goals and PATs, he was awesome.
Yeah, and look, you close out the preseason with a puppy pants against, you know, Washington, and they didn't play their starters. Neither did the Ravens, except for the guy. One of John Harbaugh was talking about Trent Simpson, who had a monster game. Stat line was full.
Yeah, I think this, you know, like when I was watching Bob Simpson, you know, because I was trying to watch him a lot, him and Buchanan early. And what did Washington do the first few plays? I mean, they ran it down their throats, and Simpson and Buchanan were nowhere to be found. Every play, other than the tip pass, Bob, every play that Simpson made, he was blitzing. You know, because like when he sits there, he has a hard, because, you know, Harbs was talking about, you know, it's simplified for him. And I think like Zach Orr earlier in the week was talking about, we know what each guy can do. And I think for Simpson, the thing that he doesn't have to think at all and he can just go play is blitz him. And I like the run stuff, the pass stuff, you know, all of it was, he was attacking the line of scrimmage. He was blitzing. And then when they would run stuff, he seemed very hesitant. And I didn't watch the replay of the game, but that's just what I watched because I was just trying to focus. You know, a lot of guys I wasn't paying attention to because I know they're not going to be on a team, but these guys, yes. And then when they were making plays, it's either in space or they're blitzing to take he and Buchanan take advantage of the athleticism. That's what I saw about Simpson.
And we also heard John Harbaugh talking about a couple of the DBs here. And Kenyon Martin had the pick six off Sam Hartman.
Yep.
Sam Hartman, you know, he made a couple decent throws, but overall, kind of a rough afternoon for him. But Kenyon Martin, that's a splash play. A guy who's been kind of making splash plays. But up against it, and while we're on that subject, talking about the other guy who's doing some great things here, and that is Reuben Lowry. So two guys. Lowry seems to be more secure, perhaps. Maybe at the expense of Bo Braid, for instance. But Kenyon Martin, still the uphill fight for him?
I think Martin, like listening to Harbs afterwards, yeah, that he's on that bubble thing. He's small. And I just don't know about the tackling. He did do a nice job hold up on the punt team, you know, where he was blocking. I just don't know about tackling on kickoff coverage, punt coverage, those kind of things, because he's so little. And how does he get active unless somebody's hurt? How would he be active on game? He won't be active on game day. So I could see him being a strong contender on the practice squad, Bob, or somebody else that's looking for a corner. And the amazing thing about him was he wasn't even an undrafted. He was a tryout guy at the rookie mini camp.
Yeah, he just showed up and earned a look big time.
And let me just say this about the corner. Like when you're watching a corner, even the dude that, Bob, that was wearing Keaton Mitchell's jersey that had that was beautiful. Every DB, every corner, fundamentally they're outstanding. And I give Chuck Pagano a lot of credit because they all look the same. I mean, the kid that made the interception in the end zone in the fourth quarter, the pedal and everything, awesome. And then, you know, you talk about all the turnovers they've been getting in the preseason. Why? Corners can catch the damn ball. That's the thing. They got corners that can catch it. So, yeah, I thought it was I thought Armour Davis had a hell of a day, too. Yep. You know, batting balls down and stuff. And TJ Tampa, that wasn't pass interference. That was total BS on that one.
Yes, it was, no doubt.
So he had good coverage on his guys, too. But I just think that the corners fundamentally are really good. And I give Chuck a lot of credit on that.
Yeah, Thomas Graham Jr. had the pick in the end zone. So we'll give him some credit there. Armour Davis had the deflected pass. But as Vinny said, also did some great things throughout the day. But getting back to Trenton Simpson, Kansas City played their starters. Cam Ward was taking snaps. Joe Flacco played for Cleveland. Yeah. There are a lot of teams throughout the league that played starters. Ravens, that's not their MO, and it hasn't been for a couple of years. What does it say that he had to start, but he did start? Were other like rookies? I mean, that guy starts wasn't sniffing the field. He was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, because I saw in warmups, I said, damn, he's going to play? And then he did.
But what does it say that he had to be part of the equation here?
I think it's kind of like Ajabo and kind of like Mike Green. They just want to give him as many reps as he can get. And he got a chance to get a ton of reps. So I think that was good for him. Because we didn't see Falele. We didn't see Rosengard. We didn't see Voorhees. You know, we didn't see those guys. And Bob, even Bullock was out after a quarter.
Right.
You know, so I mean, they were getting those guys out of there pretty quick too. But I think with Simpson, what it means, they just want to get more reps and a new linebacker coach, you know, again this year. So probably just more reps. And we'll see against Buffalo how much he'll play. I'll be anxious to see the situations. And what I'm anxious to see, Bob, if when they play Buffalo and he's in on the run situations, that they don't run blitz him.
Orioles win yesterday 3-2, salvaged the finale against the Houston Astros after losing the first three. Exciting, high-scoring affairs. And it's crazy because we had talked about how great the Orioles starting pitching was heading into that series, and they got pounded until Trevor Rogers put the brakes or that Houston offense yet another quality start. And we're going to get into what Gunnar Henderson had to say and David Rubenstein, owner of the team, during the Samuel Basayo press conference announcing his contract extension. But the next guy I would approach, and I'm not saying they haven't, by the way, is Trevor Rogers.
Yeah.
Because Gunnar, Holiday, Rutschman, it's all going to be. I mean, Rutschman was cagey when he was asked about it. We have cuts from Gunnar. We're going to play here when we come back from the break about getting that multi-year deal. But Rubenstein's like, we have the money to withstand or satisfy contractual needs. Paraphrasing, we'll play the exact quote in a few minutes as well. But so to me, that says that I'm willing to spend Mike Elias, go make it happen.
He said that before.
Yeah, but he made it perfectly clear again Saturday.
And you know what? Bob, no matter what, I take a shot at Gunnar. You know, I mean,
they have.
Yeah.
Ryan Ripken was talking about it. They're trying, and they have multiple times. But, Nolan, you buying what Rubenstein is selling here? And Gunnar said, I want to play for a winner. Well, duh.
Yeah.
He realizes the correlation. Well, we just made a commitment to Basayo. You help us win games. I mean, it's all kind of a domino effect.
Yeah, the pretty calculated responses there from Gunnar and Adley, really saying nothing at all, but that probably speaks the volumes. Now, I'm sure people are going to run with that as, oh, they never offered him a deal. They never offered him anything. See, I was right. This is offensive to them. No. No, it's all part of the what you present to the public and what's happening behind the scenes. There's no chance that Rubenstein or Elias or anybody didn't offer these young guys a contract. Why would you not go to a Gunnar Henderson after his rookie year or an Adley Rutschman and say, hey, here's this deal on the table? It probably wasn't worth a ton of money. It wasn't $500 million,
right?
But it was a deal on the table. Basayo was willing to sign it. They weren't. They bet on themselves. And in the case of a Gunnar Henderson, it was the right choice. He's going to make however many times that much money. But I'm not really taking too much away from their comments over the weekend. Obviously, they want to be paid. Gunnar spent, 30 seconds here with his answer saying, I want to win over and over and over again, not saying anything else.
Super psyched for Basayo. Yeah.
So, all right. We're moving on.
Let me ask you this. Like, listening to Gunnar say what he said, is he sending a message to Elias and Rubenstein that, hey, I want to win? You know, you effed it up this past season with the pitching.
I think that's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not to that level.
Right.
You screwed this season up.
Right.
Let's not do it again.
Yep.
But the extension of Basayo is them saying, oh, yeah, we're trying to win.
Yes.
And now we want you to be next, and maybe Holiday or Adley. I'm trying to get Trevor Rogers done, who has totally rehabilitated his image within the Orioles fan base here. He's been the best pitcher in baseball for the last 2 months. Better than Scooble, better than Crochet, better than Skeens. You look at his numbers, they're better than any of them. Now, does he have a sustainable track record? He was second in the rookie year, made the All-Star team, so he's shown it before. But what we're watching here is as good as we've seen ever from an Orioles starting pitcher in his first 13 starts from a season. So what do you have a problem with? Starting pitching. Get him done. That doesn't mean it's over. You still need to get more. Always have more. They get Kyle Bradish back probably in the next couple of days against the Boston Red Sox. Tyler Wells next week, maybe when they hit the road to San Diego and San Francisco. But the bottom line is the bottom line. And the owner of the team said, we've got the finances to sustain some big payrolls here. So let's make it happen. There you go.
Yep.
Now we just follow like everybody else, see what it goes on.
Saying it's good, saying it's fine, you double down, reiterate it. You know, that's what you're supposed to do on Saturday, also while taking your victory lap, I guess, for getting Basayo done. But actions is always what's going to speak louder. They've talked the talk in the past about locking up their young talent. Nobody was willing to celebrate until the Basayo deal got done. So go and show me.
We'll come back, hear from Gunnar Henderson and others. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Start breaking down this Ravens 53-man roster. Tomorrow's cut-down day, but I'm guessing we're going to get a lot of leakage over the next 36 hours or so.
Yeah.
Because last year, the roster wasn't finalized till I think I was asleep when it came out. What a late on the cut-down day last year.
Yeah, 4 p.m. is the deadline. So so they'll actually have it done by then. But when they release it to the media and the public,
9 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean,
because
they're always one of the last to do
37 names on every list.
That's how they roll over there.
I still think that they may get a veteran, possibly.
And we'll get into all of that and more when we come back. It's a Monday, no musical themes. Orioles Red Sox 6:30. Down at Camden Yards, BBT, me, Jim Hunter, and Joe LaCroix, 5:30 live from Pickles. Come on down, say hello.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Ooh. You do remember because you got it from me.
Yeah, that's right.
I was over at Bobby Gimmel's getting my tires done. Thank you, Bobby. What's happening? Tyler Locklear having a great little run there. His new home in Arizona. Couldn't stop coughing. And I felt bad.
Yeah.
Like earlier in the week. And I told Chuck, I was like, Chuck Sapienza, what's up? For old PD. Like, dude, something's going on here. Not the usual, you know, being an old guy stuff. I couldn't stop coughing. So I took a couple COVID tests. Were negative.
Yep.
Then that Friday, because I took that Friday off to go see Bobby, take a 4-day weekend, which, by the way, I'm doing this for two, but I'm going to a doctor on Friday, just general checkup. Saturday, just couldn't, I didn't feel horrible. I just couldn't stop coughing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my wife gave me the COVID test. First one, positive. The second one was positive before she got it out of the box. Like, oh, and I called you and said, dude, I got COVID.
Yeah.
Now, well, come on back whenever you're ready, buddy. Maybe by Tuesday. So I came back Tuesday. We went to BBT. Joe LaCroix got, I still had it. I was super spread 2 years ago, but hopefully that sort of thing won't happen on this Labor Day. But football galore. We had a college matchup, a couple of them we'll get into when we get to the whip. Preseason of the NFL has come to an end. Now it's all about cut down day and getting your 53 straight in the Orioles. Trying to be spoilers here. Well, Houston took advantage of the Orioles, and their inconsistent starting pitching would have been so great over the last month plus. But, you know, a couple of guys signed, still waiting for some, or one did, and we're getting a couple back, so we'll see. Let's go to David in Joppatown. David, thanks for holding your own. Vinny Haney and Nolan McGraw.
Vinny Haney, Nolan, how you all doing? Good morning.
What's
morning.
Up, man?
Yeah, first time caller, long time listener, love the show.
Thank you.
I want to talk about a wide receiver on the Ravens that is kind of buried on the depth chart, and it's that guy's name is Dayton Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I thought he flashed a little bit during the preseason. This year, he made some nice catches during the preseason. Do either of you all see him as a threat? LaJonte Wester, or even making that number six receiving spot on the team. I mean, they kind of have the same measurables, same height, weight, close in 40 time. But we just haven't seen.
Well, Wade hurt his shoulder in the game. I don't know. You know, I don't think Harb said anything after the game about Wade. But remember when he went out and he hurt his shoulder? So
yeah.
Maybe he's a IR candidate. Possibly, I don't know, but he did. He flashed in the preseason. He did a nice job there. But no, Wester's gonna be that guy,
and he was solid Saturday.
Wester made some. I thought he was gonna pop. That if he'd have been a little stronger, could have broke that arm tackle. I thought on the punt return, he had a chance.
Right. Yeah. I think Wester is definitely by far the better returner, at least of what we've seen this year.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Wade at all during camp, Benny, on him returning kicks?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks,
Dave. But I think best case for him is practice squad. That's what I think for him. I think the six is been set and well set.
Did we, getting back to Wester, was there ever a point where he may have played himself onto the bubble? After the preseason debut against the Colts was brilliant, but then very inconsistent, somewhat shaky since then.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, he's catching the ball was not great for him. And then I think this last weekend, did a nice job catching, good return. He's catching the punt. He's caught every punt. So I think he's always been set, but maybe like his role, Bob, maybe was going to be, if they were thinking about having him have anything to do in the offense, you know, maybe like during the week, maybe we'll just have him do returns. But, you know, he had, the jet sweep and a quick screen. Yeah. You know, he had some things to take advantage of his quickness.
Now, Ravens, we're going to start breaking down to 53 projected, of course, as Vinny sees it. And as you see it, if you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. It's Lamar and Cooper Rush. Ravens back in practice today. Hopefully Lamar is there. If he is not, then we start building up these whatever storyline, because he got stepped on.
Yeah,
I know Cordell Woodland tweeted out that he saw Lamar, but no limp, nothing on the wrist in regards to that, which kind of got buried under everything else. But if Lamar's not there today, all right, whatever.
Well, I think Cordell was the one that asked Harbs after the game, you know, is Lamar going to be practicing, you know, on Monday? He said, as far as I know,
he doesn't want to.
Right.
But Devin Leary, 17 of 23. It was a run-heavy Ravens offense against Washington, so they didn't really break out anything spectacular. It's going to be Lamar, Cooper, Rush. They're going to have another quarterback. Will it be him? Or are they going outside of the organization?
I'm guessing he'll be on the practice. You know, I mean, prior to the preseason game Saturday, to me, he was just a guy. He looked all right on Saturday. You know, he ran the offense efficiently, which was good to see from him. And I'll bet you he felt good about it. Bob, I was going to text you after those first plays. I said, I don't know if they're going to throw a pass.
Yeah.
They just want to get.
Because I had
it was like, 9 minutes?
I had the Ravens on, and I got the D.C. broadcast, Chick Hernandez and B. Mitch. Or Brian Mitchell, excuse me. I don't know him. You know him. And then the football game, the Iowa State, Kansas State. So I'm trying to concentrate on the college game more because it meant more. But, I mean, every time I looked up, Ravens were still marching down the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is a good thing. No significant injuries to speak of, which is cool. When we come back, Gunnar Henderson will switch to the Orioles. They win yesterday 3-2. It's great because Trevor Rogers was outstanding. Gunnar 1 yard. Also, Vasquez hit a pretty impressive home run himself. Keegan Aiken got a multi-out save. But Gunnar Henderson talked about a possible long-term extension here in Baltimore, as asked by the media, and also heard from the owner of the team, David Rubenstein, who's going to be signing that check. We're going to hear from them both. You want to get in, project a 53, anything on your mind. Little League World Series is over. Taipei wins, kind of handily. Got the U.S. Open tennis. I'm kind of getting back into tennis all of a sudden. That started over the weekend, and college football started. Oh, and then we can start getting into our predictions for the upcoming NFL season, which begins in less than 2 weeks.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
That's Gunnar Henderson. Said a lot more in regards to a contract extension. If the Orioles brought the offer to the table, you're going to be happy to look it over. But he did stress multiple times when he met in the clubhouse prior to the game on Saturday, I just want to win. I want a winning culture. And this guy's been here since, August of 22, Gunnar Henderson. And they won a lot since then. As a matter of fact, since that time, heading into this season, only the Dodgers had won more games than the Orioles. This year, they bottomed out. Poor planning in the offseason. Ton of injuries, which you cannot discount, including his, to start the season. And probably never really got cooking until maybe a month or two into the 2025 campaign. So he wants to win. My question to you, Vinny, Nolan, listeners, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who wants to suck? Now, there are people that just chase the paycheck, and, you know, once they get the money, they shut it down, and the effort is only there when it's time to maybe face a significant payday. But nobody wants to play in a losing culture. And since Gunner's been here, Adley Rutschman's been here, Westberg, this young core, it's been a winning culture. This year is something they've never faced before. And it seems as though they don't really like it that much. So as Gunner understands, and we heard David Rubenstein talking about homegrown, most of the great players in Orioles history homegrown. Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer, Brooks Robinson come to mind. Boo Powell, among others. And you trade for the Al Bumbry, homegrown. You trade for the Ken Singletons, and they become Oriole Hall of Famers. I mean, there are those guys, but he was here for 10 years. So at his point, yeah, it's taken. So he understands the significance and the history and the fact that they have the dough. But as Gunner should also know, the Orioles are going to be a winning team if you're on it. Yeah. And if we could sign you, that would certainly go a long way into ensuring that realistic possibility.
Well, I think the thing is, when you got a guy like Gunner, and probably a, you know, Gunner's compete level, and like you said, he wants to win. All right, if you pay me, let's just throw it, $600 million, are you going to be able to pay anybody else? You know, am I going to be the only one? I mean, that would be my concern if I'm him. You know, am I going to, if you sign me and that's it? You know, then we're playing with a bunch of young guys? No, I want to win. You know, you're going to put other people around me. So that would be my concern.
David Rubenstein, he said, we have the wherewithal to handle these contracts. He made it plural, not singular. And there is no salary cap in baseball.
Yep.
But you can't just keep throwing out monopoly money and trying to keep everyone around. The harsh reality of it is, even for big spending teams, somebody's going to have to go. And who's that going to be? But Gunnar Henderson, to me, is the best player. Now, Bisaccia might be that guy. I still think Adley Rutschman is a 100% integral part of what they're trying to do, because he started. He was the Pied Piper of this turnaround. But if there's a guy you have, air quotes, to sign, it's got to be him.
No, there's no question.
What do you think, Nolan?
Right. I mean, in terms of position players, it's Gunner and the list ends there, because I know we like a Jordan Westberg, but the injury thing is becoming a thing. You know, he can't stay on the field. Colton Cowser took a step back this year. Adley Rutschman, we have no idea what he truly is. So if we're talking cornerstone position players, the conversation starts and ends with Gunner. It just so happens that he's also the most deserving. Even if those other guys were healthy and producing, Gunner would still be the guy. So again, I'm not putting too much stock into his comments on Saturday. I think there is a little bit of what Vinny was saying, the prove to me, the show me that we're truly going to compete. But in a way, I feel like the Bisaccia deal is a step towards that direction. I mean, they made a commitment to a young piece. Would Gunner have preferred that he was that guy? Yes. But he's also preferring that comes with $600-700 million, not $67 million. So there's the sticking point. It's a start. This is a process. They've taken a step in the positive direction instead of a step back. We're not left here wondering, when is it going to happen? We've finally seen it.
And it's the first extension that Mike Elias has signed as the owner of the team. I do want to bring it back to a negative, though. Thursday, Tony Manzalino. Samuel Bisaccia is going to be our everyday catcher. Then the very next day, he wasn't in the starting lineup. By definition, not that he did play later in the evening, but maybe all the contract signing and the physicals and stuff kind of.
But you saw it, and anyone could have called it. We were talking about it at Pickles.
Yes.
But the crowd reaction to him in that big spot, pinch hitting situation where he comes up with a chance to change the game there, and everyone rises to their feet, giving this kid a standing ovation. I was watching, getting chills sitting there on my couch. I'm like, this is what it's all about. This is one of those moments that we've been dying for this year in such a terrible season. What a great moment. To not have him in the starting lineup, to not get that right at the start of the game or when he goes out there to post up behind the plate for the first inning, it's just, there's no excuse.
I said that Friday during Baltimore Baseball Tonight. We'll be at Pickles tonight, by the way, getting you ready for the Red Sox. He comes up to the plate first time, gets a standing ovation. You tip the cap, now you move on with the proceedings. Instead, it's like, why in the hell isn't your everyday catcher not in the lineup literally the day after you said he was going to be the everyday catcher. So,
and what they
I'm
said
not the
on
smartest
TV,
guy in the room, but that doesn't make any
they
sense
said on
to me.
TV, well, he didn't get to bed till like 2 a.m.
No excuses. He's 21 years old. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Gianna Hahn, Baltimore Banner, project the Ravens 53-man roster with her. So we got Tale of Two Terps, one that's ascended up the depth chart, one that might be a little bit dicey. Stick around for that. Preseason wrapped up. We'll have some AFC North news and notes there for you. That was Queen, by the way, coming out of the break. Iowa State took on Kansas State, a battle of ranked teams to start the season over in Dublin. Boy, do we have kickoff, pun intended, in a big way this weekend in college football. Maryland against FAU. Terps 14.5-point favorites. We'll obviously talk about that as the week progresses. Orioles signed Samuel Basayo. They lose 3 out of 4, unfortunately, to the Astros. Do salvage the finale by Trevor Rogers and a couple of home runs. Let's go get PT in Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hopefully we can start out the week talking about something we agree on. A good teammate never, ever speaks ill of another teammate so other people can see it. And Nolan talked me off the ledge here with his normal, calm, intelligent approach. But I did not appreciate the way Kramer appeared to be addressing Basayo. And then hopefully facts will come out on that. But Kramer's the same guy that's been barking all year about, give me more innings, give me more innings. And he's kind of made Hyde, you know, the bad guy on that. Well, Manzo gave him 110-plus pitches his last, you know, two starts ago, and he gets shelled in the first inning. So I don't know. Maybe the coaching staff knows a little more than he does. But we'll see. But my question today is to you, Bob. Do you think, and I know obviously a lot of things are going to change. I'm, you know, kind of put you in the spot here. But do you think moving forward from this point, what team would you rather be, the Yankees or the Orioles? And let me say, like, Volpe is everybody's darling.
Volpe.
He's got a 6'6".
This Volpe, I don't know who he is, but Volpe, you mean.
Bob, that's as close as I'm going to get. He's got a 666 OPS.
The devil, baby.
Shout out to Iron Maiden.
Word.
And the kid's leading the American League in errors. Jazz is a, he's a star. He'd start for the Orioles. And obviously Judge is a stud. There's no doubt about that. But I'm... position player wise, man, there's not that many Yankees you look at.
No,
I mean,
we did this exercise, PT, last year. Thanks, man. We got a lot of calls to get in here. If you position by position, that's not a Judge. Now Wells has kind of become a dude behind the plate. Rice is good at first, but Volpe, Henderson, this was always a laughable comparison. But Volpe was a Gold Glover, and he, you know, was a Rookie of the Year kind of guy. But, man, I was watching that Red Sox-Yankees game after the football was over on Saturday. That guy is lost at shortstop. You talk about a guy who's domed up. He's making these bad reads on fourth plays at second. He's throwing him into the stands. He doesn't have a cannon Manny Machado gunner arm at shortstop. He's just totally, totally discombobulated. To answer your question, though, who would I rather be position-wise? The Orioles. I think there's more upside. Financially? That's a duh. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, real quick before I get on the Orioles, market today, August 25th, Ryan from Baltimore predicts that Tyler Loop will break Justin Tucker's field goal record this year. I think it's happening.
Oh, the 66-yarder?
Well, whatever the record is, he'll break the record this year.
Did they say if that 61-yarder would have been good from a certain distance? I didn't see that.
It was at least 5 yards past the goalpost there.
That's what I mean. It looked way good.
So you're saying that the Ravens will be in a position that he'll have to kick a 67-yarder?
Yes.
Okay. Even Nolan, write it down on the 105.7 The Fan notepad over there.
I'm pivoting a little bit because of what PT said. I actually disagree with PT. I don't think Kramer was yelling at Basayo. I think he was – I'm no master lip reader, but it almost looked like he said, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. And I think that was in regard to the play with Mayo. I think, you know, Basayo, you can see he gets down on himself. He struck out in that big moment, and he slammed his hand against his thigh, and I think he probably said something, and Kramer, being the veteran he is, said, "Don't worry about it. It's not your fault. Like, you're not the one that threw the ball and hit Altuve in the helmet that kicked away and scored another run." So I think that's what it was. And I saw that a lot on social media from people that probably didn't even watch the game. They just saw that video and were like, yeah, they're overreacting of what they saw. So, but then real quick before I get off, I'm really hoping that all the talk with all the contracts and with the Boris guys, I'm really hoping that the Orioles can be the ones to change the stigma of Boris and free agency. I think they're going to give Gunnar a big contract. He's not going to get a hometown discount, but I don't think they let him go to free agency, along with hopefully Westberg and Holiday as well.
Well, I hope you're right, Ryan. Appreciate the call as always. And Nolan, I agree with his assessment of the Kramer Basayo thing. Kramer was probably pissed at himself too, because he was getting pounded on Saturday night. But in regards to I have no clue.
Yeah, I think he might have been ticked at the umpire, too.
Yeah.
Rewatching the video, he glances back, and since Basayo's trailing him, people assume that he was kind of looking at Sam.
Him.
Yeah. But you watch it again, it almost is like he's looking at the umpire. And then Basayo even chuckles as they're walking into the dugout. I can't imagine he's going to laugh in the face of the veteran pitcher that's chewing him out. So he even said after the game, said that's not on him. Quote, direct quote from Kramer.
Now, in regards to Henderson maybe breaking the mold of the Boris long standing philosophy. I mean, you got to go. We were talking about, I brought it up last week when Ryan Ripken was here, ripping with Ryan. If the Orioles went in 10 years, $60 million, $600 million, would he take that deal tomorrow?
I'm not convinced. I'd like to say
$60
yes.
$60 million a year.
I'm with you.
Because Soto like got yes. 7 plus for what, 12 years?
15.
15 years? What's got her, 24, 23 maybe? I don't know, man. I think that gets I think it gets attention. How would it not get attention?
It would get his attention, but I'm saying all of his moves to this point, or I'm assuming here, I'm making a lot of assumptions, is that he's betting on himself. And he views himself as that Juan Soto type player that is going to be the top coveted free agent whenever that time comes. Mm-hmm. I don't think he could not be a Boris client. I still think he could have the same philosophy. So $600 million, it's a lot, but that's kind of the going rate for a top guy right now. What's it going to be when he's done with arbitration? It's going to be even more, and he knows that.
To take it a step further, then we got to take a break at John Hahn talking Ravens. You know there's going to be a time during your lifetime, I don't know if me and Vinny will be around to see it, somebody's going to be making $100 million a year.
Ooh.
I mean, we're...
Probably a quarterback first. No, basketball player. They're close.
I mean, you got towel wearers making $40 million a year in the NBA. Anyway, we'll come back. It's John Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. If you're on the phones, we'll get you later in the hour. Got the whip around 11:15. And then Matt Weirich, get his thoughts on Gunnar and Adley's comments over the weekend. The signing extension, if you will, of Basayo. And Orioles still with a chance to play spoiler. I mean, they got the Boston Red Sox. They got the Padres coming up. They could still do some damage, even though Houston did damage to them over the weekend.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.